My name is Terry David Mulligan, and this is the 14th year of Tasting Room Radio. We started in a studio, in a barn, on the Naramata bench, because there was no wine show in the Okanagan, which is goofy. And we started it and had no idea that some 14 years later, we'd still be talking into a microphone. We lost one of the originals, one of the pioneers, on June the 29th. The legendary wine visionary, George Heiss, passed away. George Heiss, along with his wonderful wife, Trudy, started Grey Monk, one of the first seven wineries in British Columbia. George was born in Vienna, survived by Trudy, of course, Robert, George, and Stephen, six grandchildren, one great-grandchild. He was co-founder and co-owner of Grey Monk Estate and Vineyards in Lake Country. One of the guys who said, no, I can make wine here, before people stopped chuckling and saying, no, you can't. George Heiss. We'll remember George and Trudy. There's always George and Trudy. In an interview we did in 2012, if I'm not mistaken, they were celebrating, 2012 was the year that they called 30, 40, 50. 30 years since they opened the winery, 40 years since they planted their first vineyard, and 50 years since they've been married. George and Trudy Heiss. We'll have that conversation to start the show. And remember, the wonderful George Heiss. And then a two-part conversation. We're going back to Cedar Creek, incredible winery in Kelowna, with winemaker Taylor Whalen and executive chef Neil Taylor. I like the pairing of these two. We're going to taste four Cedar Creek wines, and Neil Taylor will pair the food for those wines. And we're going to finish this show with Jim Cuddy. I had a conversation with him for Mulligan's Stew. And then, as always, we just paused 2 seconds and started talking about wine. And actually, Jim is going to talk about one of the really fine wineries in the Okanagan, Black Hills, maker of Nota Bene. And conversely, he'll talk about Jason Priestley, who had an effect on that wine as he was one of the owners. Here's the July 18th edition of Tasting Room Radio. And you can find the details at mulliganstew.ca. Cheers. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, the growing flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves, there's a link there. If you're heading for The Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com.
After getting lost several times, I have found the Cactus Club on West Broadway in Vancouver. I hold in my hand the invite for this smashing event. It says Grey Monk Estate Winery 30, 40, 50. George and Trudy Heiss have joined me here. When the government came along and said, you know, we're going to change things, and if you pull those out, we'll replant. What? Did you hold your ground? What did you want to do? Did you embrace that move?
Well, the varieties they wanted us to pull out, we had already pulled out, so we didn't get anything on that.
What did you plant at that time?
We planted, we had already the Oxera and the Pinot Gris in the ground.
And
we had actually... And then we, right after that, we planted Kerna in Ehrenfelser. And then came the Rotberger from the Becker project. So, you know, and then we expanded the Pinot Gris by a lot.
Back then, what was your favorite wine that you were making?
Well, depends on what we were eating. Yeah. Pinot Gris, definitely, with the seafood or salmon. And the Rotberger with turkey, it's just
turkey,
different
chicken.
Varieties. But once we got the Ziegenreber, which I love the Muscat flavors. And so that's sort of my sipping wine. But don't ask me which one's my favorite. It's like asking me which one's my favorite kid.
I'm going to come back to that. Here's an interesting thing. I just had a long discussion with the winemakers in Oregon. Do you know what they've just discovered? Oxawa.
Oh, yeah.
They're crazy about Oxawa.
You're kidding.
You're kidding.
You can't believe it. You guys were 50 years ahead of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the really holdback with the consumer was how to say it.
Yeah.
That's when we started that Wine 101. and spelled it phonetically, you know, that is Auxerrois or Auxerrois.
I saw a label.
It depends where you're from.
I saw a label called Gruner, G-R-O-O-N-E-R.
Yeah.
For Gruner Wildlinger.
Yeah.
So you've got to find a way around it.
Yeah.
You've got to take away all of the preconceived notions, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, no, it was. The moment people sort of had the nerve to ask for it in the restaurant, it flew off the shelf like crazy. It's a very, very easy to drink wine.
I always say if you can say Kesara, you can say Oxara.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, I see. So.
But in the bottle.
In the bottle.
It's a beautiful one.
I know. And it's it does very well in competitions. And we recommend it often to a lot of wedding parties because it pleases a lot of people's taste buds, you know. So, my brother's place, we just took the old grapes out because they were getting tired. They weren't producing much anymore. So we've replanted again with Auxerre. We're not going to get rid of it in any shape or form. No.
George and Trudy Heiss, and they are doing, they're doing like when baseball players and football players do their last trip around the league. does this feel like the last trip around the league for you?
Well, not yet, but no, it's getting there. But we would, we say, well, they're sending us out as pioneers, and that's just another word, another name for old farts.
What are we going to do with the old parts?
Well, that's it. We'll take
they
them out
dust the, us off.
Yeah, they'll take them out of the closet, dust us off, and send us out. Well, you said this last round, the next one may be in a wheelchair. You know, but
it's okay. Once a year.
I don't think they're going to let us
retire. We're going to show up somewhere.
So the numbers on the invite say 30, 40, 50.
Yeah.
Take us through the 30s. First of all, we're just talking about winemaking.
But 30 is when we opened. 30 years ago, we opened the winery. 40 years ago, we started the vineyard, and 50 years ago, Trudy and I were married.
I like the 50. I especially like the 50. I don't think people understand the pressures of every day running a winery, winemaking, being farmers, raising a family, dealing with all of us out here, how the pressures that puts on a relationship. I'm going to her first.
Actually, we met working together. We've always been together pretty well 24/7. But if we've ever had any kind of arguments or anything, it's always from the business. It's never from the personal side.
Yeah.
And we take very seriously what we make, but we don't take ourselves too serious. And we have a lot of giggles and laughs. And
George, when you first saw her, did your little heart go thump thump?
That wasn't too bad. You know, that looks really good. And it was in hairdressing. And
What was your first come online?
I really didn't have a come online. Well, okay. When I first saw her, I really didn't get much of a chance to talk to her. She was a model for a hair color. But then after the competition the next day, I needed a ride home, and she lived very close. My boss was supposed to take me home, but unfortunately he got terribly drunk. So the big companies like Clairol, L'Oreal, Vela, they have huge rooms after the competition with nothing but alcohol and the hospitality suites. So she gave me a ride home. And as a joke, I still say I should have walked.
But the first time he laid eyes on me, I was actually with my hair color in the orange stage.
Nice.
Yes.
And that's really impressive.
I went from a redhead to, they were trying to make me blonde, and there's that orange stage in between. So it had to be love at first sight because nobody else would take you with that color. But now today, who knows, eh?
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah.
George and Trudy Heiss have joined me here. Now here we are, all those years later. And really what I just want to ask you about are the changes. It's almost impossible to talk about the changes over those years that you've seen in the Okanagan and what's happened to the business. But just give me a quick thought about how, now, when you think about it, how astonishing it may be, how amazing the whole thing turned out.
Yes, I think when the free trade agreement was signed and the Mulroney government basically said, go away, we got bigger fish to fry, here's a few bucks, go away. And we said, we're sitting here with some nice wine and we're making good things and we've got the place to grow them. And there weren't many left of us, but we were in too far to get out, and we just said, no, we're not going to do that. And now look at it. I mean, it's just amazing. I think there were 7 wineries left when that happened.
Yes.
And about 900 acres, but it had to happen to get the right varieties in the ground if we were going to play in the world sandbox, you know. And I think we've done that now. We've proved that we can grow great grapes and make fantastic wines, and people are buying them. They're putting their hard-earned dollar on the table, and I think it's just great just to see what's happened.
George Trudy actually touches on a very important point, and that was you were down to 7 wineries, the original 7 wineries that hung in there.
Yeah.
Some of them had a decision to make, some didn't.
Yeah.
It could have all gone sideways.
Yeah.
What was it? Where was that first little victory that said, okay, let's move forward with this?
Well, I think the first little victory came with the new varieties, like Pinot Gris, Auxerre, and the Becca project. What proved that we could grow those varieties here. And then shortly after, the first wines what came out and were really accepted almost immediately compared to the old grape varieties what we're growing, the French hybrids and so. I have a theory about Maréchal Foch that it wasn't imported from France, it was deported from France. You know? And so, yeah, that I think that was the first big stepping stone that we lost a lot of the still Labrusca and a lot of the hybrids. And they sort of diminished over the years completely.
Yeah. Not Auxerre.
Not Auxerre, no.
George and Trudy Heiss have joined me here. So then you had your victories, and it's really started to roll. What are you leaving us? What do we have now here, 2012, Okanagan, British Columbia, the wine business? What is your legacy?
I think the wine business is, I think it's going to consolidate a little bit more. There's a lot of people trying it, and unfortunately a lot of people aren't doing their homework.
Yeah.
And they're sort of blinded by the romance. And so the romance for us lasted, I think, 5 days. Then it was just bloody hard work. And really, quite honestly, some people really didn't do their homework, and now they wonder, you know, how do I get out? How do I, you know, what do I do? So we hear that quite often.
But I think the legacy probably is leaving behind the and giving them the groundwork of the newcomers. They can walk in today and start a business. You don't want to take their dream away. And I think we've proved that we can grow the grapes, we can make the wine, they win awards. People are buying the wines, and I think it's the tourism side of it as well. You know, the tourists that come to our door, we're averaging between 1,000 and 1,100 people a day in our winery.
For the 2 summer months.
Yeah. And the people love it, and we're basically, it's the experience for the people to enjoy.
Sure.
You know, and the food, the wine. We've always believed that food had to be part of the wine because it's part of the meal coming from Europe. That's how we grew up. And I think we're proud of what we've achieved, I think.
Yeah.
And the new people that are coming on board, they've got to work hard. They'll have to work hard and stick with it. But I think it's there, you know, it's not going to go away anymore now.
What's left of the old vintages? Anything in your library that's just stuck over in a corner from way back when?
Oh, yeah. From day one, we have some. Well, I don't know if the wine's still good, but, you know.
79.
The first one we made experimental was 79 with John and Lynn Bremmer. And then 1980 when we did the first actual vintage.
Yeah. Yeah,
we started out with 375 gallons.
Gallons, yeah.
Then. Made in 2 little tanks in our garage.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to leave this left for you. That's a beautiful thought.
This is too long.
When you drive down 97 from Greymouth, and you can see nothing but vineyards as far as the eye can see, what does it do for you?
It reminds me of Europe in a lot of places, really. And I hope they all make it and it stays there. the vineyard, stay there, because I think it's a great lifestyle. It's a hard lifestyle, but it's a good lifestyle.
Yeah, it's healthy. You sleep well at night, except when things were tough in the beginning, you know.
Yeah.
There were days, I think one year we worked for 50 cents an hour
that
year. And we thought, oh, what are we doing? But we got through that, and somehow we survived it.
Okay, you guys, your people are coming in, and we're going to have lunch here. Thank you for the pours, and thank you for your wines, and thank you for your legacy.
Thank you,
Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks for supporting us.
George and Trudy Heiss, Gray Monk. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, The Growing Flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves, there's a link there. If you're heading for The Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite. Recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open this summer, Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And you'll be happy to know that music has started on the deck, weather permitting. And a reminder that the whole month of August, they're celebrating the Cowichan Wine Festival. All of the details at EnricoWinery.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I was just telling Chef Neil Taylor that I have dreams of being in Homeblock, his restaurant, the restaurant at Cedar Creek. And of course, I'm passing that on to Taylor Whalen, who is the winemaker. Welcome, both of you. I appreciate it very much. I'm dying to get up there. I really am.
Thanks for having us. Thank you, Terry.
Taylor, before I forget, well, for both of you, actually, are the memories of the lockdown and the shutdown and the last 12, 18 months, are they fading or are they still occurring? Are you still dealing with them?
I mean, we're pretty busy, I think, and like Taylor said earlier, in all areas of the winery. So, yeah, I kind of feel like it's fading away, and I think everyone's glad to see that. We're really busy, and yeah, we're ready to go. So, and I think people are ready to come out and enjoy some wine and some food and get out and about. So, yeah, I think it's definitely becoming a fading memory. Yeah.
And Taylor, the heat dome that happened over us and over you, as I understand it, the older vines handled it rather well, but the new vines, the new plantings, required lots of water. Do you agree?
I agree. Yeah, yeah. If you didn't have your irrigation program sorted out for the young vines over the last 10 days or 2 weeks, then you may have some pretty crispy little guys in the vineyard of today. But our vineyard teams were pretty on the ball, and we seemed to get through it pretty well. The vineyards, every here and there, you get a little bit of leaf browning and some dried up stuff, but overall, it looks like we didn't lose too much fruit, and everything is, I mean, vines are still growing. We're ahead of almost every year in the last 25 years at this point. So it's been a warm one, but we're looking forward.
Okay. Well, it is climate change is upon us, and you at the sharp end of the point are going to have to be dealing with it. I'll stay in touch with you on that. Now, you were kind enough to send me the 2019 Riesling, the 2020 Sauv Blanc, the 2020 Pinot Noir Rosé, and the 2019 Pinot Noir. And we're going to take them one at a time. And Chef, if it's okay with you, I have asked you to come along and ride a shotgun on this journey, because that's one of the first things I'm ever asked by people in wine stores and on the street and basically out there. And that is, what do I pair with this wine? I need to know what I pair with this wine. And it's great information, and I think you understand that as well. But the timing is kind of icky. You're changing your menu.
Yeah, I mean, we change it fairly often. I mean, like I sent you a kind of a sample of what we changed from last night's dinner to tonight's dinner. And that's kind of how we do it at Homeblock. We don't really do kind of a 3-monthly or a quarterly kind of, you know, menu change like a lot of places. We just fade things in and out as we're offered things and as we kind of, you know, speak to our farmers and suppliers and butchers and fishmongers, et cetera. And they almost dictate what we're going to use that week. So it just happened to be last night that we had that chance to kind of fade some things out and work some new things into the menu. So yeah, I think it's exciting for, you know, most importantly, the guests, but I think it keeps my team kind of, you know, focused and keeps them kind of to have something new to learn and see and do, which I think is really important, and it keeps everything fresh, right? So yeah, that's kind of how we try to do it.
He is Chef Neil Taylor, Homeblock at Cedar Creek, and Taylor Whalen is the winemaker. Taylor, did I get the pour order right? Riesling, Sauv Blanc, Pinot Noir, Rosé, and Pinot Noir? Can you work with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Your Cedar Creek, the first thing I looked at the Cedar Creek, the Riesling, the 2019, was 10.5. Is that number going down? Are you thinking? Do you have regular conversations about taking the alcohol content down a bit in Riesling, which seems to like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, actually, it's funny. There's two conversations, really. There's one about Riesling and trying to make a low alcohol, very early pick before the sugars get too high, and hence a lower alcohol wine. The other side of the story is that even though we're seeing warmer and warmer years, with our transition into organic viticulture, we're seeing lower alcohols across all the wines, not just Riesling, but it seems like the vines are ripening a little bit earlier in terms of flavor and tannin, kind of before you get to the really high alcohols like 15%, 14% in reds, and often with whites now we're picking below 13% across all varieties, so that for me is super exciting. Lower alcohol is nice for a lot of reasons, but in particular, I think lower alcohol wines pair better with food. And so it's been really exciting to see that change.
We've always been blessed with, in the Okanagan, especially in the North Okanagan, the bright, the wonderful acidity, which means that you can cellar these Rieslings, but also the flavors are right up front. My mouth starts to water when I talk about it. And there's balance, always balance. That's the beautiful thing about it when we get the Riesling ripe. So the 2019, the growing year, was what?
Yeah, so 2019, we had a pretty good year in 19. We're a little above average in terms of heat units. We had quite a nice summer, and then a little bit of rainfall during harvest, but not too bad. So there was no real worrisome weather events or anything like that. We did have a relatively low cropping year in 19. So some of that concentration, like those intense aromas and flavors you're seeing there, is we can probably attribute some of that to the vintage. And that just is kind of a natural thing. Sometimes the vines, for any number of reasons, just don't produce a lot of fruit.
Sure.
And what they do produce ends up being quite concentrated.
It's yummy. It's so yummy. I mean, you don't put yummy on the label, but it's yummy. It invites you to drink. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. I consider one of my duties is to bring Riesling to the world. You know, like as a winemaker, we all love Riesling, and it sometimes is an unsung hero of wine. So for me, any chance I get, I put it in front of people like you who can help us spread the word that it's, you know, serious wine. It's a beautiful wine, age-worthy, food-worthy. They're awesome.
Two things, Taylor. I didn't even give you a heads up on this. How many cases did you make, and the price point?
That 2019 is about 1,000 cases, so yeah. Not a huge production. Price point is $20. So for the price point, I think
it's a steal. It's a freaking steal.
One of the cool things about that wine, Terry, is like we've got a lot of old vines in the valley in our company in terms of Riesling. So, you know, it's a $20 Riesling. I think the average vine age for that wine is about 25 years. There's some 40-year-old vines that are going into that wine. So it is a steal, in my opinion, for $20.
Chef, thank you very much, Taylor. Chef Neil Taylor, Homeblock. I have your scribbling on a menu. It's incredible.
Can you read it?
No. And I actually asked my wife to come down and tell me what I was looking at because she knows what she's talking about. The 2020 Estate Riesling. What was initially going to be on that menu? What did you cross out?
So we had a kind of a, what you call a Turkish kind of chopped salad.
So
kind of like has kind of Middle Eastern kind of, you know, origins to it.
And now?
Lots of kind of, now we're going to go for, again, kind of in that same direction, a little bit Middle Eastern with beets and biryani. Biryani's like a Middle Eastern kind of yogurt and beet kind of puree. Lots of acidity, lots of earthiness from the beets. And then we have roasted beets that kind of sit on top of that. Then there's some goat's cheese, obviously goat's cheese and kind of, you know, nice acidic, you know, fresh Riesling like Taylor makes.
Yep.
Was kind of a natural thing. And then again with those, we got some dill and some fennel that kind of gives you some floral notes. And yeah, it's just a really nice, clean salad that I think will really refreshing and, you know, that will eat really well in this kind of heat and pair really well with the Riesling. So excited to get that happen.
Hey, Chef, if you don't happen to have any beets or biryani or goat's cheese and walnuts and freaking dill and fennel around, could you pair this Riesling with what cheese? What cheese could you go to the store and come home with?
Yeah, I think honestly something like a nice aged sharp cheddar, something like that.
Okay.
You could maybe go a little bit funky with something like a Taleggio or something with a washed rind that has a bit of kind of saltiness, you know, against that bright acidity. Yeah, that would be my kind of go-tos for
okay.
Cheeses, for sure.
And I'm going to go underneath the scratchings on the paper. What was in that Turkish salad?
So it's a really quite simple salad. It has chopped red peppers and fennel, cucumber, radishes, lots and lots of cilantro, chopped rocket. And then we have crispy avocados, the kind of fry avocado, and then it has it's dressed with like warm caramelized chili butter. It's a really interesting, lively, again fresh salad, which I thought would be really nice during the summer. But yeah, we've run it for a few weeks now, and I think it's time for a change. And
thank you, mate. Thank you very much, Chef Neil Taylor, Home Block. Now, Cedar Creek, the Sav Blanc. The menu's changed on that one as well. The 2020 Sav Blanc. You make a lot of Sav Blanc, Taylor?
Growing, yeah. I would say Sauvignon Blanc, we make a couple of different wines out of it. The estate wine, which we're talking about now, which would be between 1,000 and 1,500 cases at the moment per year. And then our Platinum Sauvignon Blanc, which usually comes in around 300 cases, which is a much smaller production. So, but we're focused on it. We actually just finished planting another 10 acres of Sauvignon Blanc here at Cedar Creek.
Way to go.
Which is pretty cool. There's not a lot of Savvy north of Oliver. There's a little bit in Naramata, but we're hoping to make a bit of a splash with it when it starts to produce. So,
for those who want to know such things, it's at 12.5 in terms of alcohol. Gooseberry, grapefruit, bone dry, concrete here, a little concrete?
A little bit, actually. Yeah, we do use a little bit of concrete and a little bit of older oak as well. Not looking for oaky flavors, but more like the roundness and the kind of the weight that oak fermentation can give you.
You do mention on the back label, Taylor, it says, and just a little South Okanagan on the nose. I immediately think of the sage that I smell. Anything else?
Yep, that's the intention there, is that sagebrush you can get in the south. We've also got some wildflowers, like we're doing organic viticulture down south now as well, and there's quite a few flowers creeping into the vineyard, so you get a little bit of that kind of just floral essence in the wine often, but the sagebrush is the main relationship there.
Okay, now, Chef, I'm heading down to your menu. Burrata plus 6, you've changed that.
Yep, so that's another change we're gonna implement from this evening. So yeah, we always, Burrata's a bit of a staple at Home Block. We always kind of have different versions of it. So it's a pretty versatile, you know, cheese to kind of play around with and kind of go in lots of different directions. Last night we had these beautiful shishitos, which are like a little kind of wrinkly green pepper that are often fried or grilled. Not much heat, if any at all, but they have that really nice kind of green, you know, green flavor that I think works really well with Sauv Blanc. Again, prosciutto kind of brings, you know, a bit of saltiness in there. pesto. You got some beautiful basil in the other day. So again, that will kind of give again more kind of those green notes, which I just mentioned. But yeah, a really simple, clean, you know, fresh and bright kind of dish. And again, something that's going to be nice and light to eat when it's hot. You know, with this hot weather, we've really kind of, you really have to start thinking about, you know, how much people want to eat and how light they want to eat. So, you know, we've made a conscious effort over the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks to kind of really lighten things up, make things really, really simple and clean and fresh.
One more thing, Chef. Would the monkfish go with that as well? Would it work?
Yeah, the monkfish, yeah. We've got the platinum saffron with the monkfish. But yeah, I think, yeah, you could definitely go either way. I think that, you know, a nice meaty kind of white fish like monkfish is will give you some texture. And yeah, I think both would work really well, yeah.
How about halibut?
Yep, halibut's another fish that's, you know, really versatile and a nice, clean, light, easy to eat fish. So, yeah, readily available. You could definitely go that direction for sure.
Okay, nice. Very nice. Did I ask you the price point, Taylor, on the Sauv Blanc?
$20 as well. Another steal.
Another steal. All right, I'm going to take a break here because I have the Pinot Noir Rosé and the Pinot Noir coming up. I knew it would be a two-parter. We're speaking with Taylor Whalen, the winemaker at Cedar Creek, and Chef Neil Taylor, the executive chef at Home Block, the incredible restaurant at Cedar Creek. We'll be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris, The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite. Recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open this summer, Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And you'll be happy to know that music has started on the deck, weather permitting. And a reminder that the whole month of August, they're celebrating the Cowichan Wine Festival. All of the details at EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room is now open daily for tastings and sales. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting. And of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tully and the entire smuggling team at Mooncursor. All the details at mooncursor.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. And we've gone through at Cedar Creek, the Riesling and the Sauv Blanc with Taylor Whalen, the winemaker, and Chef Neil Taylor, the executive chef at Home Block. And I like the idea of this sort of pairing of the food and the wine together, because it's what you, the audience, are constantly asking me. What do I pair with this? Well, I got the wine nailed. I just need to know what to pair with it, not to screw it up. So it's a great information that we're passing on here. We're moving into the Pinot Noir, the 2020 Pinot Noir Rosé. Taylor, this is just an offside, but much of the discussion around our rosés in the Okanagan and in general always seems to base itself on color. How much dialogue and headbutting goes into the color of your rosé?
A lot, I would say. Obviously we're bottling it in clear glass. We want people to be able to see that color. Even we have discussions about what the color looks like in a bottle versus what it'll look like in your glass after you pour it, and how the color will change over time. Very, very careful with our color extractions.
I noticed, Taylor, it says that you check the, it says on the label, you check the color every 15 minutes.
That's right. Yeah. So imagine the grape press is full of Pinot Noir that's macerating on its juice. And we literally taking samples and looking at it every 15 minutes. And it's harder than you'd think. Like when we are ready to press the start button on that press, the juice is like the color of beet juice. Like it's a dark, dark purple, but you lose so much color throughout the winemaking process that you have to overcompensate and pull that color up. So a little bit of guesswork. It's a lot of fun. We think about it all the time. I think there's an old proverb that's like you eat first with your eyes.
Yeah.
And that's what we think of when we think of rosé as well. You drink first with your eyes, so it better look good before you even get it close to your mouth.
Well, actually, you don't even leave the store unless you've feasted with your eyes. I do notice something. I noticed it quite a while ago in a wine store in Calgary. They took all of their rosés and put them on aluminum shelving like you would see in a kitchen. And so the light coming in to the store showed exactly what the color of the rosé was. And I was fascinated by it because I see many stores, I mean, there's no backlight at all. You have to pick up the bottle and hold it up to see what the color is. Color's everything, you know? And I remember maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago when I started my whole dialogue on rosé, I would ask winemakers, so did you blend to color or taste? Oh, no, never to color, always to taste. It's always about taste. I kind of wonder if there's a trick to finding the right taste with the same. I mean, they're hand in hand there, Taylor Winemaker. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, the flavor discussion is a different discussion, and that's something that happens in the vineyard. Uh-huh. We don't pick the fruit until we're happy with the flavors, and for this wine in particular, we're looking for a nice combination of like red fruit, strawberries, berry, raspberry, with like grapefruit zest and rind, and some greener like herbal, like maybe mint or something like that. Like that's, we want to catch that Pinot Noir right when it's going from earthier into more fruity characters.
Okay.
So we're doing that in the vineyard. We don't make any of the picking decisions based on what the color of the fruit is in the winery or in the vineyard. It's more like, let's taste the fruit. We're happy with the acid. We're happy with the sugar. We're happy with the flavor. Most importantly, get it into the winery, and we'll figure the color out once we get the fruit to the winery. That's pretty much how we treat it.
How many cases, Taylor?
That wine there, 2020, we did about 1,500 cases again.
And price point?
21. That's that $1 premium on rosé.
Yeah, gouging the market. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
That's fantastic. Now, chef, it seems to me, because this household that I'm in is a 12-month-a-year, every week rosé house. We don't make any difference between summer and winter. We're drinking rosé, and it's easy to pair with. But I'm kind of wondering, you might want to shoot that whole idea down, chef. Is it easy to pair in your kitchen with rosé, or are you challenged by it? What's the situation?
No, I think it's something we don't, we have it on the menu, you know, occasionally, but it's definitely something I think a lot of people like to start with. So it's, we almost leave it for a, you know, for a, by the bottle or by the glass, but we do often put it on menus. Again, I tend to go towards, you know, raw, you know, maybe like raw seafood. Like we have beautiful spring salmon in the fridge right now. So like a raw
nice
slice of spring salmon, or even, you know, if you wanted to go cooked, I think clams and, you know, clams and bacon or something like that, you know, with, I think work really well. But I tend to go kind of light with things like that. Again, I know it's kind of a bit cliched, but, you know, a big charcuterie board and cheeses, I think is great with rosé. And like I say, it's maybe a bit dumb and done, and, you know, tried and tested, but I mean, it's tried and tested for a reason. So yeah, I think it's a really versatile wine, but I personally tend to go towards kind of raw preparations and cold preparations. And again, really kind of, you know, pair things that are really nice and fresh and work together, you know?
Would you consider spot prawns or mussels?
Definitely. Yeah, I think spot prawns would be great. You know, we just kind of left that season right now. But yeah, I mean, spot prawns would be a great example of a really clean and, you know, suitable match for sure. Yeah.
Well done. Chef Neil Taylor, Home Block, Taylor Whalen, the winemaker, is now, we're now coming to the final tasting bottle, the 2019 Pinot Noir. It's you know, one of your flagship wines, if not the flagship wine. How old are these vines that you're dealing with here, Taylor?
For that wine there, they're at least 20 years old. We base it around a couple of blocks here at the winery. Well, most of it is from Home Block Vineyard here at Cedar Creek, so right in Kelowna. A little tiny bit of it from just down the street in East Kelowna, but we're talking 20-year-old base with some 30-year-old stuff peppered in to enhance the blend, essentially.
Hmm. It's famous, this Pinot Noir from Cedar Creek. It's, It's a go-to. If you're in a, well, not if you're in a hurry, but if you know exactly what you want, you just find it in the store and away you go. And I'm kind of wondering if you're planting more, if we're going to see more in terms of production.
Yeah, absolutely. We see, you know, Sauvignon Blanc as well as Pinot Noir is a big part of our future. I think it's the red variety for the North Okanagan. And we're really, you know, we're North Okanagan. That's what our bread and butter it is. That's where we were born, and that's where we're going to die. So planting more and more Pinot. We're stealing more Pinot from other wineries in the company to make ourselves. So we're ramping it up big time, and I'm pretty excited about some of the wines. We actually just finished our Pinot Noir blending session, the 2020 wines, this morning. And, man, we've got some cool wines in the winery, Terry, like 2020 Great Vintage. And, whew, there's some awesome single vineyard Pinot that's going to be rolling out from us in the next couple of years.
Does Pinot Noir take to concrete?
Absolutely, yep. And I'm actually working on a separate project to get more concrete tanks into the winery for next year. So I love concrete with Pinot. Pinot can be a bit fickle. Like, tannins are hard to manage sometimes, especially in the Okanagan where we get really intense sunlight, you know? Like, you can have pretty hard tannins sometimes, and concrete really helps you control extraction. And it's also adds a little bit of oxygen to the wine, which helps soften your tannins. So for a number of reasons, it's a great vessel to use for fermenting Pinot.
Can I ask you how many cases and the price point?
Yeah, for the State Pinot, we're just over 2,000 cases, and the price point on that is $27.
That is fantastic. That's fantastic. Both of those numbers, fantastic. Taylor Whalen, winemaker, Cedar Creek. Chef Neil Taylor, Homeblock, executive chef. Now, chef, are you a Pinot guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's since, you know, I've been at Cedar Creek for 3 years, and that's definitely, I think it's, they're really exciting wines, as Taylor says. And I think, you know, the fact that we're really going for it, and we have, you know, tons of different, you know, levels of Pinot and styles. I think it's a really exciting wine to pair with. And I think, yeah, Taylor and I share the same passion for Pinot, for sure.
I took a look at your main courses, and you haven't scratched out anything on the 2019 Platinum Home Block Pinot Noir. It's rigatoni. I love rigatoni. Spicy lamb ragu, mascarpone, ricotta salad. Is there anything else been added to the menu to cover off the Pinot Noir?
Yeah, I mean, if you see on the fourth dish on the starters there, we've got the 2019 Estate Pinot Noir. And that's a dish, it's kind of an odd dish, but it's one of my favorites. It's based off a dish called Vitello Tonato, which is a dish from northern Italy, which is, and it's going to kind of sound weird, is cold roast veal and tuna mayonnaise with capers. It's kind of really odd, but we've kind of done a slightly different version, bringing it more towards the Pinot. We've done pork tonato, so miale tonato is how it reads. So it's cold roast pork loin, sliced really thinly, tuna mayonnaise. We take albacore tuna, like local, you know, BC albacore tuna, we confit it, we blitz it through aioli or mayonnaise, and then it's just served with capers and a bit of rocket. It's a really, really simple dish. It kind of sounds slightly odd, but we've run it, you know, off and on for the last, you know, few weeks, and it has a really good, you know, reaction from guests. And yeah, it's an odd one, but it's a really delicious pairing, I think, you know, that kind of,
it is,
it's a really fresh, light and cold dish. We sometimes serve the Pinot a little bit chilled. And I think it's just a great, you know, a great summer dish that you can drink a red wine with out on the patio, and it all makes sense. You know, it's a really fun dish.
Hey, chef, just one thing on that Estate Pinot Noir. The one that you scratched out, the menu item that you scratched out, just tell people what it was so that they can get that as an idea as well in terms of pairing.
Yeah, so again, kind of similar to kind of a riff on that burrata dish we did earlier. We did ham on serrano, which is like a cured ham from Spain. Fried chichitos, Marcona almonds, and then we did a thing called pan con tomate, which is like lightly grilled bread that's rubbed with garlic and brushed with tomato. Again, a nice, clean, simple, and kind of cold, you know, lighter dish for summer. But again, I think that saltiness of the ham on and that little bit of, you know, green from the chichitos, bit of fat from those almonds would work really well with the Pinot. So yeah, it's been a big dish for us. It's sold really well. I think it's been lots of compliments on the pairing. But yeah, I think time for a little change in the kitchen. So tonight's the night for that.
Okay, one more thing, and here's the challenge, Chef. I sort of queued you up on this, Taylor. You don't know this is coming, Chef. Something from the menu. I don't care whether it's lunch or dinner. That we're going to ask Taylor to pair. Just a little sidebar here.
Okay, you ready, Taylor?
Mm-hmm. Bring it on. Yep.
Let's do this. This will be a tricky one, actually, but I think it'll be a good one. I'd be interested to know how you feel. So, duck breast with tannis bravas, which is kind of like a spicy potato and tomato dish from Spain, spinach, and then garlic aioli.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously duck, my head goes, yeah, but obviously duck, my head goes Pinot, but then when you say potatoes bravas, I know there's some smoked paprika and stuff like that in there, yeah, which does bring a bit of heat. So I would say maybe edge over into the Syrah world a little bit, which could stand up to some of the more powerful flavors in there a little bit better than a Pinot. Although that home block Pinot is a pretty big wine. It'll be able to handle a lot of that as well. I think we blended a wine, Neil and I and the winery and restaurant teams last year, Terry. It's a Cab Franc Syrah.
Mm.
It's explicitly for home block. It's only two barrels that we made, one barrel of Cab Franc, one barrel of Syrah.
Oh, man.
And it's only found at the restaurant. That would be probably a pretty cool wine to put with that as well.
What did you call it?
It's Cab Franc Syrah.
No, but I mean, was it just on the label?
Yeah, it's our Haynes Creek Cab Franc Syrah, and it's a home block exclusive wine, so you can only get it in the restaurant.
Was it a 50-50 blend?
Yep.
Oh, man, you guys. Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, I love that exercise.
Wine is blowing people's heads off. People are, like, loving this wine. You should get down there and try a bowl.
All right, well, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Taylor Whalen, winemaker, Cedar Creek, and Chef Neil Taylor, executive chef, home block at Cedar Creek. Fantastic. The 2019 Riesling, the 2020 Sauv Blanc, the 2020 Pinot Noir Rosé, and the 2019 Pinot Noir. Thank you, both of you, for giving up this busy day. Have yourself a great summer. It's my job to get there and knock on the front door. Thank you. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room is now open daily for tastings and sales. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting. And of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tolley and the entire smuggling team at Mooncursor. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the Bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. Welcome back to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Details at mulliganstew.ca. You'll find Tasting Room Radio beautifully situated there over in the corner. Next week, we're going to revisit our friends at Unsworth. They've been purchased by one of the famous wine families of Napa, Sonoma, the Jackson family of Kendall Jackson. I wanted to go back and see, just get a sense of what's happened in the year since they were purchased, actually more than a year. There's a number of guests who join me on this show who are part of the larger picture. Usually they're musicians who love their wines. Sam Roberts, Colin Linden, Jim Cuddy from Blue Rodeo and the Jim Cuddy Band. So I was doing an interview with Jim Cuddy, and I wait a couple of seconds after we finish talking about music, and then we talk about wine. So here's the wine portion of the conversation with Jim Cuddy. Enjoy. And by the way, if you get a chance to try the Cuddy wines, let me know. I'd like to know what you think of them, because he hasn't sent them my way, because he's there and I'm here. You can find me, T Mulligan at CKUA.com. You can also find me at TD Mulligan on Twitter. Here's the thing. Normally, I kind of know the answers or some of the answers to the questions that I'm asking. Here's one I can't possibly know. How's the Cuddy Wine Project doing? How are you doing?
Oh, it's doing well. I mean, you know, there's a limited number of bottles. So and also I'm dependent on good years. So I missed a whole year with the red.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a drag. But whatever allocation I have, I sell out each year. So it's in the wine store, it's in the LCBO, and it's obviously it's available at the winery, but that's really just starting up now.
And how large is the portfolio?
The portfolio, so I have a red blend, I have a white Chardonnay, and then I have a sparkling wine,
wow,
which is Riesling based, which I am angling to change, either to drop in lieu of an Irish whiskey, which is what I'd like to do.
Okay.
Or change the basis of it.
To another varietal?
To another varietal, yes.
Okay. What's in the red blend?
The red blend is chiefly Cabernet Franc and mixed in with Merlot and a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon.
But
it would be about 55% Franc. That's really what grows really well.
Yeah.
In Ontario, in that soil.
Same with BC.
Yeah.
Cab Franc loves it. Is it peppery, that your Cab Franc?
It is not peppery, no. It brings out a little bit of the sweetness, the dark cherry sweetness in the Cabernet Franc. So it's nice that way.
And is the Chardonnay oaky?
No, not particularly, no. Okay. Very, very little bit.
The reason why I ask these things, because I've never freaking tasted them, and I'm dying to taste them.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'll bring them if I come out. If we next time we see each other, I'll bring you one, because it's not going to make it. I don't think it's a large enough allocation to make it out west.
Could you just leave the wine at the River Cafe for me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
That would be nice. I have an axe to grind with your show, right? I mean, you never had me on your show, and so I vowed revenge years ago and haven't been able to do anything about it. Now I have this to hold over your head.
You know, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. I will never regret. Oh, by the way, a little piece of info.
I think that's just great. I think it's great.
And
I think what Jason did at Nota Bene is pretty remarkable.
No kidding. Yeah.
I mean, I remember when he first went in, and I actually remember those first wines, and they were, you know, they were a challenge. And the one I had last night, it was really good. And it was austere.
Yeah.
Remember when we did the tasting? That was a long time
sure.
ago, I know. But we did the tasting, and there just seemed to be a bit more residual sugar in the Okanagan ones. And that made me wonder. And that's this Nota Bene wine, and so many of the wines I've tried subsequently, that they're making them in really just a little bit more, well, austere, just not, they're not trying to fool anybody.
Yes.
They're not saying, oh, look, isn't this fruit sweet? No, they say, this is what it is. It's a blend. There's a little bit of chalkiness here. I was really impressed. I thought it was good.
Thank you. And the last question basically on the wine end was, will we ever, you don't make enough, I would imagine. Would you ever make enough so that we could see your Cuddy wines in BC?
Well, what I really should do is I should bring it out with me. I should when I tour, I should do a little tasting or something, because I, you know, it's not really up to me. Taz is a big winery here. Plus he has all his Burgundy stuff, and he has his billions to look after. So he's a busy man. So I think he does everything he can for me. But I don't think it's in the cards to make enough of it to get it out there. But I could do something. You know, I could ship a couple of pallets out and do a tasting at every concert or something.
Thank you. The merch tent.
Sure.
By the way, what was your wine that got you through a pandemic?
Well, you know what? Because this is unfamiliar to you because you live in a more liberal province, but because of the pandemic, they allowed restaurants to sell their wine.
Sure.
And so the Taroni people have their own agents. And they had all these wonderful Nebbiolo wines and Sicilian wines and So mostly that I would just go in there and I would buy some mozzarella and buy some vegetables and I'd buy just some Nebbiolo wine. I mean, basically when you're buying Nebbiolo wine, you're just buying a younger Barolo. What's the difference?
Yeah.
So just so wonderful. I mean, you know, when we realized, all of us collectively, when we realized it was going to be a long time, you couldn't just be going to your cellar all the time and taking out a star of wine. Because it's like, okay, this is Thursday, and then there's Saturday, and then Sunday. So I tried to find something that was a little more reasonable, and I really found so many really delightful wines, you know, for me, a more moderate price, not for everybody.
Here's the last comment for you, and I'll let you go, and that is that I was doing an interview the other day with a winemaker, and he said, you know, this wine's going to age well. I said, some of us don't have time to have their wines age well. Some of us can't sit around waiting for shit to age.
I want my kids to have guitars, cowboy shirts, and wine.
Thank you, Jim.
Oh, it's nice to see you, Terry. I don't know when. Are you going to go to the Calgary Folk Fest?
No.
So the next time I see you will be next time I'm in. Well, it has to be on the island. You know, Will's back in Vancouver.
Will's back, right? In Vancouver. Leroy Stagger's on the island now, so I'm going to see him in Victoria.
I thought he was always on the island.
No, he was from the island, but he's spent a lot of time in Lethbridge and Alberta and all that stuff.
So oh, I see.
He's right, in Victoria, right. Yeah. All right.
And, okay, so one last sobering thought. The last time I talked to Barney, which was 5 days ago,
yeah,
he said there were fires on either side of his farm and true, they were just trying to keep everything wet. You got any updates?
I have no updates. My sister is in Lac La Hache and she said there were lightning strikes across the lake, but the next morning there was no smoke. So it's hit and miss, but when it hits, it's dry. I mean, we were walking this morning. I said to Meg, this is dry. This is dry. And we're in a rainforest. It's bone dry, so we're...
It's scary.
Very scary.
And I read that California is in the worst drought they've had since 77.
Yeah.
It's all just terrible.
Yeah.
But I would assume that I would hear from Barney if things turned worse, but he's in the heartland.
I'll keep an eye on that. Thank you for doing that.
Okay, my friend.
Okay.
Adios.
Goodbye. How do I hang up?
Yeah, I was about to say, do you know how to hang up?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Let me try this. Hold on a sec. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the Bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca.